Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Bengals have seven guys back at the first down marker. Mahomes stepping up, trying to buy time, moving to his left, scramble drill, pass off his back foot, incomplete, and it will be a flag thrown on the play! Hit in the back before the ball arrived was Rashi Rice.
Chiefs radio, and that was the moment. You thought the Cincinnati was going to escape out of Arrowhead, Pearl, with a win, but the penalty keeps the drive alive for Kansas City. They end up nailing a 51-yard field goal. Harrison Butker, who else? And a 26-25 win. We'll get to the Bears and what we saw last night and Texans and all of that stuff. But we got to pause on Cincinnati and Kansas City because obviously the Bengals played a lot better than they did in week one. But yeah. I was disappointed that they couldn't actually come away with this win. You get three turnovers on the Chiefs. Mahomes is throwing for no yardage. This was like not a big Mahomes game by any stretch. And unfortunately, you can't close this out. And yet again, we're talking about a penalty at the end of the game. That's one of the difference makers.
Maggie, you know the commandment.
I know.
You know the commandment. The Maggie and Perloff show, one rule we have. There's a couple, but this is the big one. Do not bet against Joe Burrow. And tell me right now that he was not the best quarterback on the field yesterday, even with Patrick Mahomes, of course, winning the game at the end, as he always does. Joe Burrow looked great. I know he had the wrist injury coming in. Maybe that contributed to a fourth quarter fumble.
Yep.
But generally,
that ended up being a pick six.
You're not fully constituted. You don't have T. Higgins yet. He'll be back soon. That seems optimistic. So once Higgins gets back, they can't double team Jamar Chase the entire game. Maybe they still do. I mean, there were three key drops for the Bengals. I thought Burrow looked great. So I am walking away from that game as a Cincinnati fan, and I'm encouraged. I feel like we're going to see the same game in the AFC playoffs.
Well, they always play close, right?
If they do play, it will be this game. I think if the Bengals stay healthy, they will make the playoffs, and then they're super dangerous.
I mean, no, yeah. I mean, you picked them to win the Super Bowl, and I get being high in Cincinnati. Again, they couldn't have played worse than they did against New England in week one. So there was only up to go. But I feel like we almost kind of let them off the hook because Burrow has this, and the Bengals in general have this terrible early season stuff where he's 1-9 in week twos. And it's like, as long as you just make progress. Like, yeah. Dude, you had the Kansas City Chiefs. You guys had them.
1-9 in week one and two, I think. He's 0-4 in week two. Yeah, but that's the thing. Why do you not buy that? And also, they're obviously going to get healthier with Higgins. They're obviously, Burrow is going to get more comfortable and healthy. All that is true. And also, they have the Commanders and the Panthers coming up.
Yeah.
They're hard to write off. Did you see I saw a lot of good. I saw Joe Burrow really being masterful against a good defense. And listen, they do have to take advantage of turnovers, but those turnovers were great plays by the Bengals.
Yeah, Cam Taylor-Britt, they played the Odell Beckham.
Yeah, amazing.
Like, it was really good. Odell's, though, is like on another level. But yeah, Cam Taylor-Britt, who have been talking a lot of smack heading into the week about how Xavier Worthy can only have straight line speed, like, you know, can't be dynamic, really, just straight ahead speed, and he actually got burned for a touchdown, and you were like, ooh, that's not going to be good, and then he rebounds with this amazing one-handed catch for an interception. So here's the one thing. You and I talk about this all the time. We talked about it a lot last week with Tua. Now, there wasn't that kind of situation yesterday in the game, but about when quarterbacks start scrambling mm-hmm. and when quarterbacks start selling out to get first downs and they're not like prioritizing their health, how that's like a stupid play and yeah. actually how quarterbacks have to be smarter. I thought Joe Burrow at times was putting himself majorly in harm's way yesterday, and he's already got the wrist thing. He got crunched a couple times and did that all sort of, I don't know, they scored 3 points in the fourth quarter. Like, did that all catch up to them after, you know, they exploded in the second quarter for 13 points and then it was kind of pedestrian the rest of the way?
Yeah, but don't you look at that receiving core and when the ball hits Trent Irwin in the face
Literally in the end zone,
that was a tough catch. But there are other easy catches. I mean, Burrow just puts it right between the numbers. I feel like once that offense gets out there with Higgins, they're going to be a real force to be reckoned with. And we know the defense looked really good yesterday against Patrick Mahomes. I think Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, has Mahomes' number. I think there's a lot to build on there. I actually feel good. I actually wonder if they missed Joe Mixon.
They should have won. I mean, you have Trey Hendrickson, who is just abusing a rookie left tackle.
Right. So, yeah, they definitely should have won, but this is week two. Look, big picture. Again, if you're a Bengals fan, I think you wake up this morning and you're like, that was a sting loss. Terrible. But, ooh, watch out for us. I think I actually watched that game, and I was panicking about them as my Super Bowl pick when they lost to the Patriots. Obviously, everybody was panicking. Now I'm not. Now I think, just get to 10-7. Not a given by any means. Get to 10-7 and get into that playoffs, and this is a team that terrifies me.
855-212-4227. How you feeling about the Bengals? Like, a lot better, yes, because they couldn't have been worse against the Pats. But I think if you are a team that has these Super Bowl aspirations and the expectation is definitely playoffs. I mean, we're talking about the Bengals here with Joe Burrow. Like, definitely playoffs are the expectation. You have the game. Like, I can't say it was in hand. Like, it was never in hand. But you got a bad Kansas City game. I mean, you had penalties that were killing drives. You had Mahomes who was, what did they do in the second half? Like, bupkis. And the fact that I know you're on the road and I know it's still Mahomes, it took a defensive touchdown in the second half, in the fourth, was that the fourth quarter? Fourth quarter, and they're throwing the ball to the linemen and doing that kind of stuff. Like, I know they love that backup lineman scoring touchdowns because now it's on film and now some coordinator somewhere has to like spend an extra hour on that in their pregame prep before they play the Chiefs. I'm just saying.
You can't stop Wanya Morris. Just hope to contain him. But, okay, first of all.
Backup alignment.
Do you realize this was a road game in the home of the two-time Super Bowl defending champions?
And you had him.
You had him, right. So why would you not feel okay about it? If you're going to feel okay about any loss, a week two loss at Kansas City, it was at Kansas City. They outplayed them. And the one thing was, you say Kansas City didn't play a good game, but they did run the ball very well.
Yeah, so Pacheco leaves the game, though, and we're not sure how he's going to do. Apparently, he was after the game in a walking boot and crutches.
You can't, if you let the Chiefs run, and with that now where the Chiefs' defense is, it's hard to beat them. So it wasn't like the Chiefs did nothing.
Let's hear from Joe Burrow, taking little solace, rather, in how he played, says the loss stings.
Yeah, it's nice being back playing ball.
I couldn't hear any of that. Got any
well, it's definitely subtitles? From a post-game press conference. Actually, when you're at a post-game press conference, that's kind of what it sounds like.
I'm afraid to go to another cut. I don't want to do it if it's going to sound like that. All right, how about Patrick Mahomes? Cut one, chapter one. What did he have to say?
Probably did a lot of good things, but obviously the three turnovers just can't happen. The first interception, I got to find the backside linebacker and – I mean, the kid made a great play on the second pick. But I'm glad we played not as clean as we wanted to and still found a way to win. That speaks to the defense and the full entire team. But obviously, we got to clean up a lot of stuff on offense as we go forward.
Then let's get both sides of this 4th-and-16 play. Desperation time for Kansas City. They end up getting bailed out with a call. I mean, technically, it definitely was the right call. Defensive back got there early. So first, let's hear Mahomes' side of things, Nick, cut to what he saw in the 4th-and-16 play.
Obviously, they're going to get in that kind of fence defense at the sticks. And so my job is to buy time for guys to get downfield. I was able to do that. As I scrambled to the left, I saw Rasheed open. I knew it was going to be contested, but you got to put the ball up. And Rashid Shahid did a great job of trying to get the ball. I haven't seen the replay or anything, but it felt like the Duquesne was there pretty early, and we got the flag. But, I mean, you got to give guys chances in those situations, and that's what we did.
Okay, that was a rookie corner who got there early, who actually had two brutal penalties in this game. All right, let's hear it from Zach Taylor's point of view, the 4th and 16 DPI call. I said it was a toss-up.
I mean, you know, it's one of those plays where we may benefit from something like that at some point this season. That's what I told our guys. So, they're calling it like they see it. I thought they called a very fair game, and they saw that as a penalty. So they called a penalty.
All right, not going to get fined.
Well, it was a penalty, by the way.
Yeah, it was a penalty.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sure his coach is like, yeah, he got there too early. A couple things. They only rushed three on that play, which probably drove everybody nuts. Yeah. And then Mahomes flushed out. And how you let Rashee Rice, they feel like a one receiver team to me. I mean,
Kelsey,
I know
Kelsey was nowhere yesterday.
But, like, first of all, why you're in a soft zone and you let Rashee Rice was open by 5 yards. That the Anthony's fault was not the PI. Like, where was he playing? I have no idea. He was kind of playing for a 60-yard pass when they let them get right in there for the field goal. So there was a lot that went wrong on that play. It was PI. I mean, there's no get that call. Like, he definitely, I think Rashee Rice probably would have caught it because I don't know how Mahomes couldn't do anything all fourth quarter. Then fourth down in the fourth quarter, he throws two perfect passes, of course.
You know what's crazy, too? Like, this is how much trust you have in Harrison Butker, that after they convert the 4th and 16, they, like, really didn't try to gain a lot more yardage. And they're like, yeah, we're content with, like, playing for the 51-yard field goal outside. I know. Guys kick 50-yarders. I've always said this is the biggest difference in the NFL between my childhood and what I watch now is dudes just hit 50-yarders.
You said 50. Yeah, 50. 50 is what we used to call 35-yarders. I mean, for Kaimi Fairbairn, like,
that dude,
65 is like a 50-yarder.
He's inside, though. A little bit different.
But they're all like that.
Roof was open last night.
Yeah, now that I think about it.
But they're all like that. I mean, except for Justin Tucker, who now can't hit a 50 or. Did you see that stat? That was shocking. That he's not one of the top kickers anymore is bizarre.
I know. That's crazy, right? 855-212-4227. Do you feel better about the Bengals after what you saw yesterday in Arrowhead? Or are you feeling like, how'd you let that one slip away? You know,
that's a tough one to word because you have to feel better. As you mentioned, they lost to the Patriots at home week one. You have to feel better than that.
Yeah. You feel good.
I feel good. This is a solid. It's a strong 0-2. And I mean, listen, history doesn't lie. This team, count them out at 0-2 at your own peril. And
we didn't see this juggernaut of a Steelers team coming, though, who are currently in first place in the AFC North by scoring like two touchdowns over 2 weeks.
Yeah, Baltimore is also 0-2. That helps Cincinnati. It feels like, to me, it's a two-team division.
The fact that Kansas City now has beaten Baltimore and beaten Cincinnati, neither one of them particularly pretty.
Both games were close. I don't know what happened to Baltimore.
That was crazy. I never thought they'd give up a 10-point lead at home against the Raiders. We have that to unpack. We have so much that happened yesterday. And I felt like it all happened at once because there were, 10 games in the early window?
Yeah.
We've got the Dallas Cowboys losing in just horrible fashion. They didn't even show up. Totally blown out. The Saints might be the best offense in the entire league. They're on a historic tear. We've got all of it to get to. Again, we will get to every single game, but we want to hear from you about your team. 855-212-4227. Again, we're going to try, but we know we're all over the country. What did you see from your team? What did you want to point out? 855-212-4227.
Wow. It is a big day here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. We are so excited because EJ Stewart is back and giving us sound bites of nothing. Dude, what the heck? Your comeback, your first day, your first triumphant return from the torn patella, and you have basically you're in the back of the conference here with the what happened, dude? What happened? We had such high expectations for your return.
And a cut sheet of 41 cuts.
41 cuts.
Two of them are the ones that sound weird for me.
Yeah, so you were shot out of a cannon this morning. Usually we have the cut sheet, which is all the sound bites. And it's usually, you know, about a 3/4 of a page. It is like an encyclopedia today. Apparently only half of them work. No, I'm just kidding. It's great to have you back, dude. I can make fun of the Mets in person. This is such a joy.
I know. What a day for EJ to come back after that happened over the weekend. But EJ's back. I was trying to think about this. What was the day of the kickball, the faded kickball tournament, where you tore your knee in the first 90
June
seconds of the game.
June 29th.
Just the whole summer, just wiped out.
June 29th, injury, surgery, July 3rd.
I mean, luckily you got your big trip to London and Paris out of the way, out of the way. Got to propose to Andrea, so all those plans were fine, not disrupted. But the rest of your summer just went up in absolute smoke. But you did it. You rehabbed like a maniac, and you're here. You're back. It feels great to have you back.
Great to be back. Awesome. Thank you so much to the guys that have stepped in for me and the gals that have stepped in for me. They've all were fantastic to work with just remotely. And excited to be back. I don't got to hear Perloff talk crap about me behind my back or from my computer screen. Now I can stare him down when he's talking crap.
Well, no, let's be fair. I usually talk crap to your face there.
Oh, no, you do, I'm saying. Yeah. But now there's only a glass between us now, a computer screen in 15 miles.
I mean, listen, you are back, but I could easily run away from you if you got mad at me. So
that is true.
And it's nice having somebody slower than me in the office.
For now. 855-212-4227. We'll get more into EJ's big comeback throughout the show. We got to get to last night's game, though. This didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. We'll put it that way. Every one of Caleb Williams' organs has to be leaking fluid right now. That guy should be in a body bag. Did you see him at the end of the game? Before he actually had to go out and do a final drive, he's on the bench, like sunk down low, head back, eyes closed, like, please, God, don't make me go back out there. He's a tough dude. He kept getting back up, and he kept making plays or trying to. But he got you talk about those welcome to the NFL moments. He got a welcome to the NFL game last night. They could not protect him.
Ooh, see, I didn't see that game that way. I have a piece of coaching advice. You might want to throw the football. Maybe when it's called for a screen pass, you throw the screen pass. Maybe when it's called for anything, you throw any pass whatsoever. I mean, that's the thing with short quarterbacks. You got to drop way back and see the field. Like, he was... A lot of that was on him. A lot of that. He just is not comfortable just letting it rip.
I know, but I also think that the Houston Texans secondary might be one of the best in the league.
I don't know.
Derek Stingley Jr. is legit. Petrie, these guys hit hard.
I saw a lot of guys that he could have thrown to and that he did not. By the way, all the rookie quarterbacks are doing the same thing. Just throw the ball.
Yeah, not a banner day for the rookies yesterday. Kevin is our pal in San Antonio, wants to talk about his Texans. The defense looked amazing, Kevin.
Oh yeah, they that's a big upgrade. I'm telling you, they're gonna surprise some people. I'm not hating the Bears. They're in the growth stage, just like what the Houston Texans was. You know, they gotta go through something to get through to go ahead and be a better team.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, I love the optimism about the Texans, and thank you for the phone call. I don't think anyone can say they didn't see him coming. I mean, I think the Texans were a sexy Super Bowl pick. Stroud, you know, here's the weird thing about yesterday, though, and I would even go back to last week. I think the offense has to be just scratching the surface here because the offense wasn't good in the second half. They couldn't sustain drives, and I know they have a defensive head coach, so, you know, you got to punt a couple times here and there where maybe a more aggressive coach goes for it. You had the fumble by Cam Akers at the goal line. I mean, I thought the offense, like, you have all these weapons. You had a 100-yard receiving game from Nico Collins. You got Tank Dell out there. You have Stephon Diggs. You have Schultz. You have, you know, I know Mixon left the game. He eventually ended up coming back, but obviously he's hurt. I just feel like the offense didn't even show you what they're capable of in this game. Maybe that's the Bears' defense is just really good, but...
Well, I think they wanted their defense out on the field against Caleb Williams. They punted from the Bears' 43-yard line in the second half. They were very comfortable with that lead, and they should have been.
It was a one-score game. It was a six-point lead for most of the second half.
I don't think there was any point where it wasn't above 90% on the win probability. I just also think I saw so much poise from C.J. Stroud in a tough spot because the Bears were getting after him. They're the same age, C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. One looks like he knows what he's doing. The other looks like a rookie.
Well, I mean, that's just what's going on, though.
Yeah, I mean, they are the same age, though. They should be about the same level, and I think Caleb will improve dramatically. I just think he's not really seeing it perfectly, which makes perfect sense. It's his second game.
Seven sacks, Caleb Williams, seven sacks. And I feel like none of those were like cheap. Like, the Texans got their money's worth on all of those sacks.
Yeah, he get hit, but again, I think seven sacks, I'd like to see some analysis. How many could he have thrown a pass? Well, at least thrown it away. Also, he's trying to extend plays like he did at USC. You notice one thing about the difference between college and pro. Those guys are fast in the NFL. The extending plays is dangerous, and he kept trying to do it.
855-212-4227. Oh, Chris in Alabama. Chris, you deserve the floor here. Talk about your Saints, pal.
Oh, man. I couldn't do a victory lap and gloat how everybody just, you know, wrote us off. Some people say we wouldn't get six wins. But I'm just going to rather let the play do it and let all the discrediting we got through the better half of a whole week plus saying we're just fluke team and all that. Falcons are just going to take over the South.
Yep.
And they ain't even really been together with it. Within a whole year to even have team chemistry, but hey, it's all cool. Keep discrediting us. I already got my ESPN channel logged in for get up to find all the reasons why to talk about the Cowboys, and they didn't give us any kind of credit regardless.
It's your day. It's your day, Chris. It's basically historic what the Saints are doing right now. You deserve to enjoy this. And honestly, I like where your head's at. Like, keep putting us under the radar. You know?
Yeah. I want to be put on the radar. I mean, in fact, just don't even miss nothing about the game at all. You know, it just fits the narrative per se. How like we're going to be the team that's not even going to be talked about regardless, because and I heard people. Matter of fact, the only time we really mentioned is the last week of last season when we put like 48 at home against our most hated rival in the Atlanta Falcons, which is crazy when you think about it. And over just one play, and now we're doing 15 plays straight up just touchdowns over just all because we changed the one offensive coordinator, and we don't and just last week you're still getting the credit this week you're still getting the discredited, right? And
well, so listen, Chris,
on the 50-yard line of the Jerry Jones Jerry world and just, you know, urinated on them, but hey.
Chris, you thumped them. I get you're taking a muted victory lap today. You deserve it. I mean, yeah, of course, like a lot of the talk's going to be about the Cowboys. So I think you are going to go a little under the radar.
Definitely.
But 91 points scored in the first two games, the most by a team in their first two games of a season in 15 years and tied for fourth most in NFL history. Margin of victory is a combined 62 points.
As someone who has often drafted Alvin Kamara, I don't know what got into that guy because he was crumbling as an NFL player. I mean, you look at he was bad last year. He must have done some kind of body switch this year. He's a totally different human being. I mean, he was not running like that for one game last year, and now he's back to 5 years ago. He averaged 3.7 yards per carry last year.
Four touchdowns. He's got six on the season now. I mean, they are just rolling. And
he had, listen to his touchdown totals running the last 3 years. 5, 2, 4. And now he's got four already this year.
He's got six, I think. He's got four yesterday, four, I think touchdown. Two in week one.
Four. He has actually five total TDs.
Oh, pardon me.
Yeah, but he had four rushing touchdowns. He hasn't had four rushing touchdowns since 2020. There's something going on with that guy.
Well, maybe Clint Kubiak offense, you know, maybe this is an offensive line might be a little better than we thought. And here's the other part. The defense we knew was going to be good, right? We just weren't sure about the offense. And here's a question. Can they keep this up? Everyone kind of wrote it off a bit against the Panthers. Spoiler, everyone's going to have a good day against the Panthers. A couple months ago, I said this team could go 0-17, and I wish I had put some kind of bet on that because it's looking rough. They'll get one win, I bet, maybe two, but this is bad. Anyway, wrote it off against the Panthers, but Perloff, this is the Dallas Cowboys at home, a place where they usually dominate Dallas's defense. This is just not a team that can play from behind.
100%. And they still, the run is what we saw last year against Green Bay. It was almost a repeat game of the playoff game. It felt like the same game. Yeah. So the Saints have the Eagles next week.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. there's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week, I predict 29 for 34 for 380 yards from Derek Carr. He is going to torch that secondary like there is no tomorrow. So I think they keep it up.
Would you say 29 for 34? He doesn't have to throw that much. He threw for right. he threw 16 passes yesterday and good top point. 200 yards. They're averaging like 18 yards a play or something
there
at
was,
one point.
There was a part in the game in the first half, I believe, where he was 9 for 11 for like 222 yards and three touchdowns. I was like, whoa, these are Madden stats. Like, what is going on?
On easy mode.
Yeah.
Quick sidebar on that game. Did you guys happen to listen to a lot of Tom Brady? It was a blowout, so I turned it away. I think that Tom Brady took a lot of notes, and people said he didn't talk enough. He wouldn't shut up. And he was totally like, here's the thing about Tom Brady. He's just like any other broadcaster. He could be anybody. I just think he's generic. In a sense. Like, it doesn't feel big game-ish.
Yeah, and there's another part. This is a small nitpick on Brady. I thought he was definitely better.
Yes.
Definitely better than week one, but he had only to go up. And he was a little more assertive, and he was a little bit more, like, got in there, didn't wait. Yeah. And that was good. He basically took Dan Patrick's advice because Dan should, you know, has great advice. But there's another part he's got to get a little more comfortable with. He did this in week one. I let it go. Can't let it go in week two. They're talking about... They hearken back to, they go to Carissa Thompson or something in a break, and she's talking about Seattle. And it's like they're 2-0 for the first time, blah, 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 since Tom Brady beat them in the Super Bowl, and you get that memory. Tom, you've got to say something about that Super Bowl. Like, it was Seattle Patriots. And, sorry, it was a rematch of Super Bowl, whatever that was, Malcolm Butler at the goal line. You've got to, when you come back, you've got to vamp. I need a little bit from you. He did it week one about Mike Evans was having this great day. They come back. Mike Evans, you just played with him for 3 years. Say something about Mike Evans. Couldn't do it. Give him a pass week one. He's got to be a little looser. We're going to talk about things in your past. You've got to be ready to go with a little of that. Hey, that was my most memorable Super Bowl. That was the one I thought we were definitely losing. Whatever it is, say something.
I'd save it for prime time. Why are you going to blow at a blowout of week two? I don't know. I mean, he's only got so many of those stories, Maggie. Save it for later.
I'm not saying he's got to do the whole soliloquy. I'm just saying.
The other thing, too, is that I always said this. For Romo and Brady, in a Sunday ticket world, they totally get lost. A red zone world, too. Yeah. I mean, who was watching that game in the second half? It probably did okay ratings, but that was over very, very early.
Okay, let's hit Bogish. We'll get back to the phones in a second. You want to talk about the Cowboys. You want to talk about the 49ers. We want to do that with you. Bogues, good luck tackling this monster of a day.
Guys, good morning. All the headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. You guys mentioned the beating Caleb Williams took last night in Houston on Sunday Night Football. There were the 7 sacks. He did break the century mark in passing yards, unlike week one, but he kept throwing passes to the Texans.
Caleb Williams gets the snap. Caleb Williams in trouble, and Danielle Hunter can't get him down. Williams escapes to the right, throws downfield, and intercepted by Lassiter. Runs upfield, 45, and he's out of bounds inside the 45-yard line. The rookie with his first INT.
Mark Vandermeer on Texans Radio, the Houston D with 2 picks and a late fourth down stop to secure a 19-13 win over Chicago. Despite scoring just 3 points after halftime, C.J. Stroud a touchdown pass to Nico Collins, and he set up 4 field goals total from Kaimi Fairbairn.
I definitely think like we got to stop getting penalties. That's one thing. Another is just, you know, stop shooting ourselves in the foot, hat on a hat in the run game, hat on a hat in the passing game, and really just stop getting in our own way.
But they're still 2-0. So are the Bucs after a 2016 win in Detroit, and the Seahawks after a 23-20 win in OT in New England, and the Chargers after thumping those Panthers 26-3, Justin Herbert finishing that one with a lower right leg issue courtesy of a third quarter tackle. He said more info, more testing coming in the coming days. Texas is number one in the new AP college football poll, jumping Georgia after the Bulldogs' too close win at Kentucky. The The Longhorns haven't been atop this list since 2008. Ohio State, Alabama, and Ole Miss once again complete the top five.
It's arch time.
At least for a week, right?
It's arch time. I don't know.
Maggie's been waiting breathlessly for 2.5 years.
I have. It feels like much longer. I've been waiting since Arch's junior year at Isadora Newman, whatever the high school is in New
Orleans. I think that's
right. I'm a sicko. I've been waiting for that. This is it, guys. This is the changing of the guard.
You think one oblique strain is that's it for Quinn Ewers?
I think that Arch, I mean, what did he throw? 5 touchdowns? It was a blowout. I think he's going to look really good next week. And I think he keeps the job until something happens. He throws a couple picks, something happens, and then they put Ewers back in. Yeah, I think it's Arch time.
I'm not totally sure. I mean, they don't have a real game until is it the Red River rivalry?
Yeah.
What was that?
The Oklahoma game. That's the safest way to go.
The UTSA rivalry.
The team they played this week apparently is like bottom. They were really good a couple years ago, right? They completely bottomed out. So, and they have a couple exhibition games coming up. Mississippi State, it's like the worst SEC team of all time, right? So he's going to put up huge numbers, but you got Oklahoma and Georgia. Do you want the experienced guy or do you want Arch? I mean, Maggie, you are a super fan of Arch Manning, apparently.
Yeah.
Who would you play against Oklahoma and Georgia?
Well, Quinn Ewers lost to Oklahoma last year. Red River, Wed Wiva.
Yeah, I know, but Quinn Ewers beat Alabama.
Sure. I think Arch has got it now, again, until Arch does something to give the job back.
But I feel like Quinn Ewers could be the number 3 pick in the draft.
Right, and they've had every reason to not have him be their starting quarterback, and they've stuck with him with Arch on campus. I can't imagine that they were just hoping and waiting for Quinn to get hurt, and now that he is, that's it. My expectation is he's the quarterback once he's healthy again.
I also think Quinn's just better. I know we've seen little of Arch, but I mean, Quinn was just carving Michigan just a couple weeks ago. I don't know.
If Arch can run, Arch,
and they put Arch against Oklahoma or Georgia, I think that's going to look bad for Texas.
But Arch can run like crazy, it's a little different. But Sark's offense is more like a passing offense. You know, right. He just gets everybody open. The funny thing, too, is they lost 2 really, really good receivers, and their receivers fly by everybody. Yep. So that feels like Quinn is more of a fit for that offense, but Arch is awesome, too. I mean, I don't know. I think either of them could be great. This team is really talented. And can we talk about Steve Sarkisian might all of a sudden be one of the best coaches. And now do you understand why Arch stayed, Maggie?
I do get why Arch stayed. I mean, now that I'm seeing what Miller Moss is doing at USC, though, I still think my Arch should have transferred to USC take would have also been good. But no, it's fine. He can stay. And again, you guys are acting like he's just some run-of-the-mill backup. Not the same. I know Ewers is good, but it's not the same calculus.
But they have kept him the backup for 2+ years.
Well, now the door has been kicked open because of this oblique. You can't just make a change. And they put Malik Murphy last year because he was still so young. But it's different now.
Arch is still pretty young, too. That's the other thing. If they want to go back to Ewers, Arch is 19. He still has, if he wants, he could play 5 more years of college football.
I'm sure.
No, literally. Like, yeah. He redshirted last year, I assume. Nowadays, it's ridiculous. Is it Cam Rising coming back next year, too? Is that the latest? I know you follow this, CJ.
Oh, I don't know if he's coming back next year, but I know he's hurt right now, and Zach Wilson's brother is playing, which I was like, wow. Zach Wilson, there's another one of those coming out?
Yeah, Cam Rising is like 30.
Yeah, I think this was the year where they were like, oh, he can come back one more time. I don't think he can play again.
Yeah, this, I think, is his 7th year, I believe, in college football.
Van Wilder. What else you got?
I got the Dodgers and the Braves. They were 2-2, top 9 in Atlanta, and then they weren't.
Marcell Iglesias touched up for 5 runs. And Max Swings hits a drive. Deep right center. It is gone. And for the 3rd time this season, the Dodgers have hit back-to-back-to-back home runs in a ballgame. It is 9-2.
Tim Neverett on Dodgers Radio, the Max Muncy homer capping off a 7-run 9th for a 9-2 win. The loss keeps the Braves tied with the Mets for the last NL wild card. Asia Wilson scored 29 points, becoming the first WNBA player to get to 1,000 in a season. Her ace is down the sun 84-71 to keep their 1-game lead on Seattle for the 4 seed and home court in round 1, entering the final week of the regular season. And John Rahm won the LIV Golf season finale near Chicago to claim the season-long title and its $18 million bonus. That must be nice. Guys, back to you.
By the way, there's Cam Rising, they're waiting to see what happens with the NCAA settlement in Congress because there is a very strong possibility that Cam Rising gets an eighth year. I mean, we'll see if he plays this year at all.
I mean, how long is that going to take? They're waiting on Congress and the NCAA? These are the two slowest moving bodies that we have.
Three quarters of Reddit
slower
is
than
talking
EJ
about
on one bad knee.
Cam Rising is 25, and I don't know what the deal is if he's going to play this year. It's so weird, his latest injury. This guy cannot catch a break. But, yeah, I would not count on Cam Rising for next year. What's your Miami Hurricanes guy?
Oh, Cam McCormick, who's in his ninth year.
Tight end?
Yeah, ninth year college football.
Yeah, eighth. I mean, he's just a puppy. He's a seven-year player.
And then who's the other guy? Oklahoma State quarterback, Bowman. There's another guy floating around.
Alec Bowman, that guy has been around since I was in college. Yeah. No, I don't. He's still balling out there.
Blackman.
Oh, my goodness.
How about what Van Dyke, by the way? Got injured.
Man.
He's going to come back another 2 years because he'll redshirt this year or whatever. It's crazy. College football, guys are old.
But if you don't have really a good shot at the NFL, I get it. Some of these guys are going to leave college. They're going to have like maybe $5, $6 million in the bank after all this NIL.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
What a great point. I mean, somebody told me the other day, Caitlin Clark probably gave her $20 million by going to the WNBA if she'd stayed for her last year at Iowa. I don't know if that's true, but NIL changes that game.
Man, I didn't know the Iowa Collective had it in them.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if that was a collective money, but think about if she was in the NCAA tournament next year, how many ads she would get. Not that she doesn't get them now.
I don't totally understand. Every other minute.
But I guess the WNBA salaries are not great.
You're just finding that out?
I've heard something about that.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Bogus, thank you. We're going to try to get to everything today, but obviously, if we are not getting to your team and you want to talk about it, call us up. 855-212-4227. The chat's already mad because they think we're already doing that thing where the Cowboys are being bashed and the Saints are the afterthought. We're going to try not to do that thing. This is Who Dat for Life, Chris.
We didn't do anything yet.
We were praising the Saints.
Yeah.
One guy called about it. We didn't even brought up the topic.
We're going to talk about the Saints. We're going to give them all the flowers.
Mm. No.
Bouquets.
I'm not. Because you can't, you got to be careful with the Saints, Maggie. You get into a Saints vortex, they will let you down. I'm just telling you right now, I've seen this movie before. I've seen Derek Carr get hot before. I'll just say that.
This could be different. Maybe we're seeing something different. They're shot out of a cannon here. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including one other thing from last night that I found ridiculous. Just insane. I'm talking about the Bears and Texans. If you didn't stay up for it, Texans really didn't do much in the second half offensively. Big fumble near the goal line for Cam Akers, but they hang on for a win. They're 2-0. We'll get to more from that game next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff with you on this Monday, reacting to the NFL. Good question here from Chuck Engine, who's in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet and twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. We're also on X right now at Maggie Gray, SiriusXM, Odyssey, the whole deal. Biggest surprise loss, Niners or Cowboys? I think if you throw the Ravens in there, you got three really good candidates, and who was the most shocking loss? I guess by the point spreads, it would definitely be the Ravens because they were almost, I think that line closed almost around 10-point favorite for Baltimore, who falls to 0-2. To me, it was the Cowboys. Leland is in Sacramento, though, big-time 49er fan. Leland, what'd you see yesterday in a loss to the Vikings?
Oh, man, there's so much to see. It's kind of hard to filter it down. But I think the thing that disappointed me the most is the coaching. I really thought that, you know, seemed like, you know, with the hype and what's in the media, that Nick Sorensen would be able to put a defense together that last year Steve Wilkes wasn't able to. And if you go back and look at both seasons, you can see that the defensive back play really has gone down a few notches. That's what Steve Wilkes did. He put some the backs back there. Their schemes seem to work. This year, I don't know. You know, they just gave up way too much separation. But I have three things to really point out about yesterday's game, if I had just have like one more minute. So, like, yesterday it seemed like the third down was a problem both on offense and defense. But on the defensive side, they just couldn't stop them on third down. Defense was on the field for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't have Fred Warner, that game would have been an absolute blowout, like the Cowboys.
You're right about the third down. Here's just a little numbers to back it up. San Francisco on offense, 2-for-10. Meanwhile, the Minnesota offense, 7-for-12 on third down. So stark.
Yeah, they got killed. And then, you know, like, like to do. Okay, Brandon Ayuk, I am so mad at him right now. He can't separate. He is not in shape.
Yeah.
In fact, they had three stars that were, you know, not in the game. Hey, Perloff, did you see Trent? Big Trent gave up sacks yesterday.
Mm. Well, I mean, by the way,
six sacks of Purdy yesterday.
How can you be surprised? It was literally the same game they played there last year, right? I don't remember where last year.
Yeah, one
game.
Point.
Yeah,
yeah, 1 point difference.
But the thing is, it's an early game. You know, it's the Niners. I can forgive this loss. I'm sorry, I can write off any loss. Like, this is going against Brian Flores, and Purdy had that. Was it a fumble or an interception? I still don't know what that was.
It
just fell out of his hand.
I think the Vikings are pretty good team. This is not, to me, this is not a killer loss, because you definitely didn't have McCaffrey, and Ayuk is a ghost of himself. So I wonder if this team is going to be a little better later in the year.
But to Leland's point, like, that's, you could say that's kind of everyone's at fault for that. And Ayuk, you know, if he's saying, oh, I could have signed earlier, maybe he would be in a little bit better shape and would be a little bit more ready to go. Four receptions on five targets for 43 yards and no touchdowns. And here's the thing about McCaffrey. We knew he wasn't playing last week, and they were fine, you know? And they found a way. And now this time, that Brian Flores defense. Leland, what I said is that Kyle Shanahan should hire Brian Flores next time, because they keep cycling through defensive coordinators. Flores knows how to stop them.
I mean,
yeah, no counter at all to all those blitzes. It was just insane. I don't know what's going to happen next week. You know,
I don't know.
I'm pins and needles there.
Their schedule parts like the Red Sea coming up. I think the Niners might have some easier assignments. I mean, the Rams are so beat up, Leland. I think if you can't win that game, then you're in trouble.
And then they're going to play the Cardinals. Cardinals won yesterday.
Blowout win yesterday for the Cardinals. The Rams, it was never competitive. Leland, thank you so much. We love talking about the 49ers with you. And
but 49ers did again run the ball. I mean, Jordan Mason he's a tough dude. They got a ton of yards yesterday. They could have put it together. There was a few games like that was not. That was a closer game than you might think.
Purdy didn't look comfortable. You're right. The yardage was there, but they were. It wasn't seem like they were confusing him necessarily, but. He didn't look awesome.
See, to me, it was. I think what Leland said was right. Like, they couldn't get the Vikings off the field. I think they were surprised that Sam Darnold was good.
He looked amazing.
I didn't come away.
Shredding the defense down the middle of the field. What's that about?
I didn't come away worried about Purdy. I came away worried. The defense, again, 2 years ago, they were ferocious. Now that D-line just does not look scary. It didn't scare Sam Darnold. He's not seeing any ghosts out there anymore.
All those years later, what a callback. That bad Monday night game, the Jets against the Patriots. What a different time for the Pats, too. Joe's in Las Vegas has a thought. Joe, this has got to be a happy day for Raider fans if you are one.
More like stunned. I couldn't believe it.
I get it.
But I want to call about, you know, these guys that are hanging around in college that you were talking about for 8-9 years, whatever, and also how that kind of ties to Tua, that, you know, it's kind of hard. We're talking about some pretty good college football players that they know that they're never going to make it to the pros. That you know, their dream was to go to college and then make it to the pros, but obviously they're not going to go. That's why they're sticking around in college. And so, you know, we talk about Tua retiring, and he's kind of, you know, still a young guy in his prime. He's not old like Steve Young and Aikman and Michael Irvin, who were at the end of their career. And so, you know, it's easy to see why he would want to hang on, because it's also a dream that he's hanging on to, just like these guys in college. They know when they take off those pads for the last time, there's no going back again. That's going to be the last time. So I understand why they're kind of trying to live every ounce of that dream, because when they take it off for the last time, the dream's going to be over.
Well, Joe, I get it. And, you know, the running joke, and appreciate you calling, the running joke was like, remember about like Stetson Bennett, for example, right? And he wins two national titles at Georgia. Like, oh, I can't wait to buy my car at Stetson Bennett Chevrolet, right? Like, that's how Stetson Bennett, or that's how a star in college who was not going to go on to have a big NFL career, that's how they would live the rest of their life. You're dining out on your college experience. You open up a car dealership. You open up a restaurant. You become big man on campus basically for the rest of your life. Now you don't have to do that. Now you're actually, you could be a career college football player and walk away with a couple $1 million and then open a car dealership.
Like, I'm not sure if Stetson Bennett is your perfect model of how you're supposed to run the show?
I think he kind
of
is, but because...
Well, yeah, except he's got some things going on.
Well, okay, a little bit different. But again, it was that would always be like the... It's like, all right, well, he'll just go live off the college career. Now you can like literally live off your college career. If you play your cards right, you don't have to do a lot.
I saw last week Javon Quinterly, who's a college basketball player, played at Alabama and Memphis. He announced his retirement from basketball, which was surprising to me because usually those guys would go on to play in Europe, play anywhere. And he put in his retirement note, like, thanks to my, like, six-year career in college basketball, I was able to amass so much money in NIL that now I have a way to start my business life. And I was like, wow, this is a totally different, like, world that we're living in now. I never would have imagined that a player could actually basically say, I don't need to play in, you know, the Philippines. I can just go and use this money I have right now and start, a new business model. Like, really, the NIL has changed the whole landscape for college athletes.
He's got his nest egg.
Exactly.
And if you play your cards right, then, you know, you can really make it work for you. So, yeah, it's totally different. The Tua thing is, I don't know if it's necessarily apples to apples because Tua got this massive contract. And we're talking about is Tua, what kind of quality of life is he going to have after this? Like, that, these concussions are just brutal.
Right, but the financial incentive for Tua is so massive that no shocker he's seeing a neurologist and he wants to get back on the field. There's just no way. People say, oh, it's your long-term health, $150 million.
Yeah.
Most of us would wrestle an alligator for $150 million.
Right. No, I get it. And I would lose that fight. I would lose that.
I definitely would lose.
Yeah. There's no way I take on it. Not even a baby alligator. Like, I think I'd lose all of it.
I mean, if you play the what would you do for $150 million face tattoo in a second.
The star? You said Dallas Cowboys star right in the middle of your forehead?
For $150 million, I'll get all over my body. I'll get blue stars.
Too bad we can't make that happen. Would you take $150 bucks?